Don't you ever just wish it could be a little bit simpler? Well, you found the Fabric Podcast and the last episode of our conversation, Purposes and Preferences, where in a live gathering in Minneapolis, Greg Meyer helped us get curious about simplicity and complexity.
Good morning, Fabric. Great to have you all here with us today. We've been talking about purposes and preferences for these last 4 weeks, and we're rounding it off today just in time for Thanksgiving, right? So that you have something more than your preference to just eat as much as you possibly can and avoid those people and go to Uncle Charlie with those conversations about gun control, but instead maybe have some purpose behind it so you know what you're bringing to that meal. But of course, the Thanksgiving dinner can maybe just be a big example of the way we need to exercise those purposes behind our preferences all the time. So in case you haven't been here for this, or if you're listening to the podcast and are new to our conversation, let me just fill you in real quickly. We've been talking about purposes and preferences. And so preferences are the way we like things. We're pretty familiar with them. In fact, sometimes we're so familiar with them, they're so like inside us and innate to us that we're unaware of them. They're just operating. We just follow them. We just think that's the way you do things, right? Then purposes are the thing behind a preference, or that should be behind a preference. And they're the reason. They're the why. They're the what actually matters. And so you would choose a preference that follows those purposes that are in our lives. So that's the idea. You've got purposes upon which you build preferences. And ungrounded preferences, that would be preferences that don't have like a real check behind them, a real reason, a real something that's important to me that really matters behind my preferences, those are dangerous. They're dangerous not only to you and where they're going to take you in your life, but they're dangerous to other people. They're dangerous to the world because we do a lot of shortcuts, short-sighted and short-term thinking that just doesn't work. And so we try to keep away from that. So purposes are important, and not only for you on your own, but they're also important for us together as a community. The stuff that drives what we do, Fabric, as a community, it doesn't come from like what we think would be fun to do or what we think we want you to do. No, it comes from some larger purposes that we frankly carefully chose before we ever even started this community. And we continue to, you know, re-understand them and figure out what are they, how are they relevant today? How would we live them out today? So that's been our ongoing thing. So as we've talked about these various purposes and preferences these last 4 weeks, we've related each of them not only to, you know, where they fit into our own individual lives, but also how they fit with the core commitments that we have as a community, as a way to kind of help us remember the why of us being community. And if you have been around a while, I think you probably recognize these pretty well. If you're new to Fabric, I think it might be kind of interesting to hear what's going on there behind the curtains, because it's some pretty basic stuff. And here's the thing about our Fabric core commitments, all right? The only reason we have them is that they parallel the core commitments that you would have in your own life, all right? What works for you as an individual is the same as what works for us together, but only in a different way, all right? In fact, that concept was the idea behind the first one that we talked about the first week, and that is we are Fabric. You're all supposed to jump in on that. I am Fabric, you are Fabric, we are Fabric. Fabric does not exist without us. Fabric is not a place. This is Field Community School that we gather at, all right? You can't point at anything except us and say, that's Fabric. We are Fabric. We're Fabric when we're gathered together here. We're Fabric when we go home. We're Fabric at work. We're at school. We're Fabric when we shovel the neighbor's sidewalk like we did this last week. You know, we are Fabric. And that's an important thing for us to remember. Okay, that was the first week. Let's see if you can do better on the second week. Second week, because Fabric is mostly made up of... Oh, you guys, you're quick learners. Thank you. People who aren't here yet. Fabric is mostly made up of people who aren't here yet. That's right. We are a movement. We are part of a movement that belongs to the world, not to us. All right? When we get here, we don't close the door behind us and said, that's cool, now that I'm in, let's make this all be about all of my preferences and the way I would like it to be. No, the reason that it was the right place for you to be here is the reason why it's going to be the right place for the next person. And actually, being about that is where we're going to find that all this makes sense and is meaningful to us. Okay, the third week we talked about our core commitment of fostering these three arenas that you and I need to grow. Melissa talked about the three bowls, right? The three bowls, right? The three bowls. We talk about this because we think this is how people are made. This is how we function. This isn't our idea or some cool thing that we want to do. It's the way we understand and what our mission is to us and to everybody. First of all, there's the big bowl. The big bowl is all of us collected. Whenever we gather, when we're assembled, this is the place where we realize I'm not the only one who thinks these crazy things and worries about these, wonders about these questions and is trying to find support and direction around it. And I also, you know, when we come together as a community, I find some inspiration. In fact, I not only find some inspiration, but I find a shared conversation that it isn't just me having this because I listen to that podcast. It's really kind of cool. But there's a lot of people from our community, from our neighborhoods that are thinking about this same thing right now for these bunch of weeks. So that's the function of this big bowl of doing that for us. But then that's not enough. So we have a middle-sized bowl, the mama bear bowl, right? And the middle bowl is, this is just big enough to hold your significant relationships. These are people you really share life with, you care about, you trust, you've grown in trust, and you get together in order to grow, right? These are not necessarily your best friends, but these are the people that really give you that accountability, give you a chance to learn and to teach and to share life together with. We need that. That's so you get some inspiration, but here you get to integrate it. You get to make it your own and figure out what that means. Then there's a smaller bowl, and there are a lot of smaller bowls because there's one for each of us, and this is you and your own personal spiritual practices. It's what you do as an individual to carry this all out. This is how where you take responsibility to make you so that you can show up here and even in the world, right? So we've got those three bowls going on. That was the third week. Last week, we talked about our core concept that we seek unity in diversity, not conformity. Boy, you guys got to go back and listen to those podcasts. It'd be fun. It's easy to create unity and conformity. Let's just get people like us. Anyone who disagrees, you know, we'll get them out. Or the way to make us a unity is, this is what you're supposed to believe, and I'm going to convince you to do that, right? We're going to use a lot of certainty. We're going to use a lot of coercion. We're going to get everybody to agree on stuff so that there's no friction here. You know, that's just, you know, called pent-up friction. How can we embrace that conformity or embrace that diversity and find unity within it? The idea is that being church, and if you look at what Jesus is doing, being church is not about being sociologically comfortable. It is about being safely uncomfortable as human beings with each other, all right? Because that's the reality of this world, being safely uncomfortable as human beings with each other. Now, I'll be first to admit that we aren't a perfect community. And all this stuff that we try to do, we never get it all right, and we never will. That's just human truth, right? But I'll also be the first to claim that when a group of amazing people like you gets together and they put their heads and their hearts and their bodies to work making this happen, it is worth the effort. It is worth the effort. We've got another fabricism that speaks to that. In fact, it's that we get to do this. We get to do this. Not we have to do this. Let me just be clear. You don't have to do anything, all right? But I think that what we do together is a sort of the sort of thing that the world actually needs more of, that we need more of. And all the stuff that we do to be fabric, well, it's a privilege. It's a get-to. It's not a have-to. If it feels like a have-to, stop doing it, all right? Find the place where it is a get-to for you. So on November 5th, that was a Saturday a couple of weeks ago, we had a workshop. Many of you were there, and it was looking forward to the transition that is coming from my eventual retirement. What we were doing at that workshop was trying to take that time and understand that this process of transition to use it so that we can make it serve us as greatly as possible. And we ended this 4 hours with everyone taking what they had absorbed throughout that workshop and thinking about, well, what is there I get to in all this? We recorded that, and I just want to play it for you. It's a little hard to hear, but go ahead and listen to this.
get to watch and see what happens, because I'm really involved, and I'm just really excited to see where things are going to go.
I get to see strength shine. I get to stay energized after today.
I get to grow my network of people wondering about faith.
I get to learn more about where we're headed.
I get to be excessively gracious to myself and everyone else through all the like messy stuff of the transition.
I get to set boundaries to show up in the most whole and healthy way I can.
I get to have a voice in this conversation, but I also get to maintain balance.
I get to participate in something meaningful that has opportunity for growth.
I get to listen and find an opportunity, hopefully, to contribute.
I get to continue and continue and continue and continue showing up.
I get to be a sounding board, a listener, and a thought partner.
I get to re-engage with the community.
I get to grow by learning from everyone in this room and the rest of the community.
I get to see where we go from here after a pretty solid foundation that's been built over the last 15 years.
I get to continue participating.
I get to be part of a loving, accepting community of great people.
Mm-hmm. I get to reimagine my role in this community at the Clan Lab.
I get to show up.
I get to help my group become more involved in Sunday gatherings.
I get to maybe use some of my interviewing skills and getting to hear from the whole community, potentially other people, while also being very realistic with myself about energy management.
Yeah. I get to watch Fabric grow into more than I could ever imagine.
I get to help shape the future.
I get to be flexible.
I get to find out what Fabric means to different people, everybody's unique perspective.
I get to be consistent and hold that space for others amidst change.
I get to work behind the scenes to help watch out for Fabric's finances.
I get to have the opportunity to be more invested in Fabric in the future.
I get to rethink what community means.
I get to stay curious.
Mm-hmm. I get to dance with uncertainty, but I don't have to do it alone.
I get to be proud of where we've been and also where we're going.
I get to celebrate the intentionality of this community in this transition and witness the development of an even stronger concept of this community.
I get to practice having a mindset of opportunity and not scarcity.
I get to hear and be heard.
I get to listen and be open, build lots of spreadsheets.
I get to show up with gifts of curiosity and wonder and play.
I get to do this with all of you for the people who aren't here yet.
Mm-hmm. I get to show my kids what church can look like.
Mm-hmm. With buckets, people.
I get to be exploring who I am and what are my gifts and what's my seat on this bus, which is an amazing bus, and I get to work pretty close to that middle of that thing, and that's amazing.
I get to re-engage through Fabric and hopefully be a part of an exciting journey.
I get to change with this community and see what we become in a couple years.
A lot of variety. I mean, that's impressive and humbling for me to hear. What a privilege to be a part of a community like this that can see the potential, the possibility, and the import of what we're doing. So now this week, we want to take a look at another preference that needs a good purpose behind it, and that is our preference to keep it simple. All right? See, we try to keep it simple. We try to keep life simple in lots of areas. But in the area of regards other people, involves other people, that often means independence from them. Keeping life simple by not being dependent on other people. We don't like depending on others. We don't like working with them. We don't like relying on them. That's too much work. Keep it simple means streamlining, right? It means only involve what you have to and basically rely on yourself. It's easier. After all, if you want something done right, you do it yourself, right? Okay. Independence isn't only easier, though, it's also safer. Sometimes those people let you down. Sometimes you find out you aren't really wanted by those people, and you wonder about your own acceptance. You find out that other people don't think you're as good at that as you thought you do. Maybe you find out that they don't even think you're that great of a person, and do you really want to risk that? I mean, that's kind of tough, rejection. It hurts a lot. Independence isn't only easier and safer, it's also better. After all, we are a nation of self-made people. Stand on your own 2 feet. By golly, that's what I did. Don't be needy. It's fine to like other people, but don't actually need them. That's a sign of weakness, and weakness is for losers. All right? Now, I hope you don't actually believe those messages, but I bet you know them all. I bet you've heard them, and I bet you they play in a loop in the back of your head an awful lot of the time. I mean, they've been put there since we were little kids. And yes, there's some truth to them. Yes, sometimes doing something on your own is easier, like brushing your teeth, okay? You know? Sometimes you can't trust some other people with certain parts of yourself. They're not nice, and that's okay to have some boundaries about things like that. It also hurts to be judged unacceptable or inept, so maybe you don't want to risk that with some people. And there's something to be said for personal competence and being able to be responsible for yourself. But come on. I mean, here's the truth. There is a difference between being an individual in the context of community and being an individual on your own. Your life's purpose, your fulfillment, your health, your strength, your resilience, they are not established, they are not found, they are not created in independence. No, they come out of relationship. It's all about relationships. Some of you are thinking, does Greg say that every week? And Greg is thinking, do I ever forget to say that? Because, I mean, that is so core. It is all about relationships. Now, you can go off the grid. You can take your solo trip to the wilderness. You can hide in the basement by yourself. But in the long run, there is no independence from the rest of the world. There is only relationship with the rest of the world. Wilderness, off the grid, maybe. But who made all that equipment that you rely on to be able to go off the grid? Did you invent all of it? Did you make it all? Or are you dependent on someone else having done something? Or you're off in the wilderness. Is that like in a void in space? Or are you someplace where there is land and trees and animals, maybe water, and you are in relationship with them? I mean, come on. I mean, what is independence? You know, and as long as we're talking about this way, this instinctive need for us to try to find our independence, to be independent in order to keep it simple, we need to talk about simple a little bit. Because there are two kinds of simple, all right? Two kinds of simple. First of all, there's a simple that we claim in order to not get into the messy, the complexity. You know that cloud there, all that yew stuff that is out there. When it comes to our relationships, you know, it's at Thanksgiving dinner. It's like, maybe I won't even go because it's just so much easier if I just don't even go. Or I'm going to avoid the people or these conversations, right? I'm just going to limit things. I'm just not going to go there. All the baggage, the crazy ideas, the dysfunction, the ineptitude of the people around me and stuff like that. I mean, I'm just going to stay on this side of it. This is easier. This is simple, all right? That's simple on the near side of complexity, okay? Then there is simple on the far side of complexity. That's when you dive into those relationships anyway, right? You don't solve them, you don't work everything out, but you do discover something strangely beautiful and valuable, maybe irreplaceable, something that's missing in yourself and only exists in those other people. You don't always like it, you don't necessarily want to model after it, you don't want to necessarily include it in yourself, but you know that, yeah, you know, that's something I don't have, that's something that kind of completes me. Something simple emerges on the far side of the mess, something, like I said, that's beautiful, something valuable, something irreplaceable. You probably have a hard time explaining it, partly because it's too complex, and partly because it's just simpler than words are. So simplicity on the near side of complexity, or simple on the near side of complexity, I call simplistic, right? Your simplistic solution to the situation. It's what you wish would work. You'd prefer simple on that side. You'd prefer that simplicity because it risks so little and it just seems so easy. Darn it, if it only worked, you know? It doesn't. Simple on the far side of complexity, I would call simplicity. Simplicity is really different than simplistic, isn't it? It's grounded in bigger stuff. And it can only be found by passing through the fire. Purposes are found, they are tested, and they are refined there in complexity. Complexity distilled by the heat of life becomes wisdom. And wisdom is experienced as simplicity. Now, maybe this isn't an issue for you. Maybe you've gotten over this instinct and the pull of all these messages around you, and you spare no energy to just go diving into those relationships, even the really tough ones, and you have no need to try to prove yourself, you know, to prove that you're competent out in the world or anything, you know. So, but then on the other hand, maybe you're not God, and you're more like me, and this is a struggle for you, and you battle it all the time, even though you think you know better, and you have to admit that you prefer independence an awful lot of the time, and you like to think, I've got this. Either I've got it because I'm confident and by golly I can do it, or I've just given up on trying to do everything, so I've got it just by giving up, okay? I've got this. No, you don't. You don't. You can't. Because all the real stuff in life is found in the context of relationship. First, you need a little bit more honest, a little more aware, a little bit more filled out relationship with yourself, with who you are. You also need others. You need the bus that we talk about here a lot. And not just people on your bus, but all the others that make up this world, the land, the trees, the creatures of this world. When we're not aligned, when we're not in a right relationship with all those sorts of things, I mean, stuff starts falling apart. And then you also need that deeper, that broader, that fullness of the universe sort of relationship that transcends you and transcends me. So of all the things that Fabric, as a community, was formed to do, this would be the heart of it all. And that is to pull all of these parts of yourself together. And our way of visualizing that is through the three strands, right? So you all, when came in today, I think got three strands of paracord here. If you didn't, they're over on the table. Go ahead and go pick one up. Let me walk you through these three strands, all right? So pick out one, doesn't matter which one. I switch them around all the time. This first strand is your self strand, okay? Pretty nice. But it's not just you. This is like the true you. This is the full you. This is the you that if you are somehow complete and whole and everything, that is the vision of you. This is the you you will never quite be, but you're always seeking. All right? And that's okay. Whatever version of it you are right now. That's the first strand. Then the second strand that you pull out, this is the other strand. All right? These are the people in your life, the close ones, the far ones, even the person across the world someplace that you will never know the name of or never run into, but somehow we are all connected, right? All these others. But then also not just people, right? As I said before, It's the land, the tree, the animal. This is all the yous here. If you talk about the 7 days of creation, the story about how the world got put together so we can understand our relationships with all those others, right? So if people were made on the seventh day, on the sixth day, there are 5 days of all these others being created that we are to be in relationship with. And then there's the third strand. I'm calling this the that which is strand, okay? More commonly referred to as the God strand, okay? But God tends to be such a simplistic word, and it has so much baggage for so many people. So many times when you say God, people, we just think of some superhuman sort of person who's sitting up there somehow watching everything and nodding their head one way or the other and either helping us or not helping us or judging or not judging or whatever. And I don't think that's how it works at all. I mean, I think this is, in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, I've talked about this a lot of times. Moses has that experience of the burning bush where God reveals God's own name and says, my name is Yahweh, which is a real obscure word in Hebrew, but it basically means I am what I am, or I am who I am, whatever. Like, whatever I am, I'm fully it, and whatever I'm not that at all. I'm the thing. I kind of like my own Greg Meyer translation, that which is. I am that which is. It is both not only that which weaves the fabric of the universe, but also it is the fullness of that weaving all at the same time that we get to participate in. So we have these three strands, and I hope actually that some of you are thinking, Greg, I've heard this. I don't need to run you through. You don't need you to run me through this again. Great. Next time, you can do it, okay? And in fact, you can do it next time you meet your group, okay? When you get to your group, you walk them through it. Help them. In fact, take some strands along. Anybody from your group that's not here today, take some strands for them along and talk them through it a little bit. Or do it with your kids. Do it with your workmates. See, this doesn't need to be all religious sounding. I mean, people understand themselves and their relationship to others. They also realize that they are in relationship with that, which is that whatever the bigger sense of this universe that we're a part of that gives us some order and some hope. And I think people get that. You can find some word around that. And the truth is that we need to hear this over and over again. Vision leaks, and this is a vision thing. I'm busy, you're busy, we're all busy, life is complicated. Instead of pushing through the complication of that, to find the simplicity that is deeply woven in life, we all tend to fall back on the simplistic answers like, yeah, I've got it. I can do this on my own. It's easier. I'm fine. Don't worry about me. I don't need all that other stuff to make my life more meaningful. I can figure that out. But you're not fine, and you can't figure it out. Sorry, I can't either. Now, you and I, we too often cruise on this power of living in a mythical world that we've constructed that somehow self-defines that everything is okay for us when we know it's not, when we know there's missing something. And we actually have to face the reality of existence. And the reality of existence is that we are all inextricably woven. Woven our strand with others and with that which is. So look at your strands. I hope you've been playing with them. I think this is important. I carry mine with me all the time. I love to feel it. Feel this. And if you haven't done it already, put a little knot on the top so that they're all connected, they're beginning. That's how you started. You started very connected. So that top knot there, maybe that's when you were born. Maybe it was when you were conceived. Maybe it was your baptism. Maybe it was when you were adopted. I don't know. But this is somehow where you started. And you started all connected. And then you go through life, right? And now, notice, just pull out your self strand or one of the strands. And pretty cool. Nice. Seems kind of strong. I could do some of this, couldn't you? But I actually know because I bought the paracord you're playing with. The breaking strength is about 60 pounds, so yeah, it's not going to get you too far. Plus, if you really had to hang on to this, do you think you could? Nah, it's way too slippery. You're going to slip right off. So it's kind of nice to have a second strand, isn't it? All right? So you can put two strands together. You got more strength. You got more something. But if you really want to weave them, did you notice you can't weave two strands? Weaving with two strands has a word. It is called twisting. And when you have, and you put a knot in it, you've been twisting, 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 you put a knot in it, all those twists disappear. They didn't stand there. That not moment didn't keep it together. Now, when you have three strands, it's different. Three strands are there, and you can actually do something called braiding. If you don't know how to braid, someone sitting next to you can show you. But what is this weaving? This is life when you recognize the fact that it isn't me alone, but I am connected with others, and I acknowledge that. I try to do my best, and with that which is. And I try to learn from, be part of, connect with that, and do that. And we do it that way. And do you notice there you have something pretty substantial? And when something really happens, like you got married, or you had a baby, or you had that insight in group that just changed things, or you found the job that gave your life some meaning and purpose, and you put a knot in it there. You know, all this weaving that was here up above, yeah, I remember, like, all kinds of stuff was happening, and I was connecting with people and stuff like that, but it's all kind of disappears. But that knot, I can tell you the story about that knot. That stands out. I know what that was about. And you not only mark, you not only need to notice, but you should mark those events. Let people know that you just had a knot moment. And tell the story. Notice them. Mark them. Tell the story. Did you notice how easy it is to hold on to that knot? That rope that was just slipping through your hands before, even when it was braided, when there's a knot in it, suddenly can hold on to it. Yeah, adds a lot of strength to things. There's a book in the Old Testament called Ecclesiastes. It's one of the wisdom books. It's a collection of distilled wisdom, sort of very skeptical wisdom, especially skeptical about what any person could achieve on their own. And in the middle of the book, chapter 4, there's this little three verses that just come out of nowhere. All right, and let me read them for you. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail over against another, two will withstand the one. And then, with no introduction and nothing said afterwards, there's this mysterious line at the end. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Life with others is the only way, but a threefold cord, that's a game changer. Fabric is here to weave a threefold cord with you. So, Jesus, I've been spending a lot of time with the book of Matthew through this whole series, and Matthew, 8 chapters, and he spends a lot of time in the middle of the book, many, many chapters, talking just about what Jesus is doing these years of his ministry, and he's, during that time, he's just traveling from town to town, from city to city, to region, and what he's doing is he's just weaving. I mean, he's going to people, and he's helping them discover stuff about themselves. He's helping them understand what it means to be a human being. Then he's also finding the lost. He's finding the lonely. He's finding the left out. He's finding the individuals, and he's pulling them together and helping them see themselves as something. You know? And then also he's weaving them with himself. Him, sort of a presence of God, a way of understanding this Yahweh, that which is in a person, and connecting them with that as well. He's weaving their lives together in a way. Now, some refused. They did not want him handling his strand, their strands. And they stayed out of it. They kept Jesus out of it. But a lot of them felt it. A lot of them moved. And it's interesting that one of them was the writer himself, Matthew. Chapter 9, verse 9, we find out his story. Matthew was a tax collector. He was the one that nobody liked. The Jews didn't like him because he had sold out to the Romans to collect unjust taxes for them, and the Romans didn't like him because he was just a despised Jew who would sell out for other people. So he was a guy like with lots of money and no friends, right? But Jesus said, come, follow me. Let me have dinner at your house tonight. So weaving is something we do every day. And knots are things that we do on a special occasions. Put a knot in yours if you haven't. What is it? What moment are you thinking of when you put that in? If you didn't, stop now. It doesn't always have to be a big earth-shaking, huge one. Maybe it was something small, but it's worthy of noting. It was something that holds all of this together. What is that? And where were the three strands? In that not moment, who were you? And who did you become? Like, what changed? What deepened in you and your self strand? And who are the others? And it's obvious sometimes to think who the others are, but think about other others. Like, who else was looking on at this? Who else was noticing? Who else maybe was changed in some way? And then that third strand. Were you aware of the third strand at that time? How was it involved? What was the reflection of that for you in those moments? Did you ever mark that story? Do people know what happened? It is a story. Tell it to someone. Tell its story to someone this week. That would be a challenge for you. Maybe Thanksgiving dinner. What if like an hour before Thanksgiving dinner, you pulled out your robes and you talked everybody through it in a way that would work for whoever you're gathered with and said, right before dinner, we're just going to pass this around. We're going to have everybody just, what is a not moment of gratitude in your life? And who are you? Who are the others? And what did that all mean? What was the meaning behind all of it? Could be something to do. So our job, Fabric's job, is to make you a great weaver, to make us great weavers, to help you see the larger weaving that you're part of, to help you know that everything is part of the fabric. That doesn't make it all good. Doesn't make it all worthwhile, because that includes a lot of hurts, doesn't it? A lot of pain, a lot of stuff that will never get fixed. But the fabric can bear it, and the fabric can use it, which is where the I get to's come from, right? They aren't in denial that it's all fun and games, or that it all works out, or that because we get to it, somehow everything pulls together the right way, but it's not the point, is it? It isn't the point that it all gets fixed, it all works. But that it's all part of something bigger that we do together. My friends, you don't have time for all this weaving. You don't have time to add all these layers of complexity to your relationships and to what you have to do every day and the people you need to include. But then that's also true that life is short and life is precious. And honestly, I don't think you don't have time not to do that. So, purposes and preferences. Get some really good purposes behind your preferences and keep them in front of them. That's what makes life work. It makes the world work. It makes your life work. It makes our community work.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wanderings on social media and find resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.